The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, girl, hey. Welcome to Taste of Taylor, my weekly podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Strecker, of the live daily talk radio show, The Taylor Strecker Show. So here's the deal. On my radio show, we're like married up in there, okay? Yeah, like till death do us part. Or until you want a divorce. Totally up to you. But this podcast is where we date. Yes, you date me. You like... You get to know me, you try me on, you feel me out, and this is where I get to woo celebs, tastemakers, and influencers into falling in love with me. Anyone who knows me knows I'm like a professional social climber. And yeah, I wear that title like a badge of honor. But for reals, my favorite part of being in the radio industry for 12 plus years is getting to meet interesting, inspiring, and exceptional people and getting them to talk about the pettiest things in the world. So if you love real talk with a touch of cattiness and a ton of laughers, then you're in the right place. I hope you enjoy this little snack. Hey, girl. Hey. Welcome back to another episode of Taste of Taylor. It's my weekly podcast. And today I'm so excited. So we have tons of interesting people on the show. Celebrities, a lot of Bravo celebrities, tastemakers, influencers. And I feel like this guest is all of that and comes to one. Well, actually, well, technically Bravo celebrity, kind of, sort of. We'll get to it just a little bit. Right now, guys, I've got Lyris Cross. She is a model. She is a face of important brands for women. She is an author. She's also a fellow podcaster. Lyris, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, girl, so we have a lot to talk about. Sure. So I said Bravo celebrity because even though Project Runway has been on Lifetime, actually for the majority of its life, in my mind, it's always like associated with Bravo because it was actually, that was the show that got me into watching Bravo in the first place.
Right, that's where it started.
You got it. So if you guys don't know, Lyris is the, she's the first plus size model to win Project Runway. And you were in the last season, season 16.
Correct.
Which in and of itself is so fascinating and so scandalous. Not scandalous, but I feel like we've got like a lot to gossip about because everything is changing with Project Runway, which is like so crazy. Mm-hmm. I kind of honestly didn't really even realize it until I was preparing to have you come in. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm digging through all these articles, I'm like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. So I'm like, oh, you can swear on this, by the way. Okay. Freely if you want. My show is explicit because I have a dirty mouth. So I want to just talk about the inner workings of Project Runway. Like, girl, you might have been on the last really grand finale of Project Runway.
Yeah. Right? You had to take that deep breath.
Right?
Well, Project Runway is now returned to Bravo.
For season 17.
For season 17 and going forward.
But they they just recently launched a premiere date and it's still open. It's like, it's going to be premiering 2019, which could be like, what? February? March? May? August? Like, you know, so it's kind of like, I didn't realize there was so much drama around kind of this movement of Project Runway, but there is.
There is. I am proud to be a part of season 16.
You should.
Which was the very last season that you will have
Heidi Klum.
Tim Gunn. And Zach Posen.
That is bananas.
I know.
Wow, girl. So you really were on the last season.
We definitely wish Project Runway Bravo the best at Bravo.
Yes.
And however they decide to proceed with the show.
Yeah. I'm curious.
I know, because we're wondering, are they going to have plus models back? I mean, a lot of people have been asking me, Lyris, are you going to be back for season 17? And I'm like, well.
We'll see.
From what I'm hearing, they want all new everything.
You know, they tend to do that when you like flip format or you bring something back. And I mean, you know, it's interesting. And listen, I've just for all my Bravo people, because I got lots of Bravo people. I don't want to piss off anybody at Bravo. But you guys know I'm like the biggest Bravo fan. Like I love my Bravo celebrities. I love my Bravo shows. Like
Bravo. I love Bravo too.
Like I freaking love it. What's your favorite show on Bravo?
Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Girl, yes. Who's your favorite character?
I would have to say I've grown to love Kenya Moore.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, with when she was like twirling back in like her season two, I was like, girl, please.
Yeah, but she now. She has a lot to start off with, but I like how she's evolved.
She has.
I've been able to see her evolution. But I would say my favorite out of all of them is Candy. And that's because Candy is a boss.
Yep.
She is a boss. And she just, to me, she shows that you can really have it all.
She's a hustler too, yeah. Which I love.
Yeah, she grinds like how I grind. So
yep, yeah. Can you like come over here and like rub some of that off on me? I got to learn how to get my hustle on a little bit better.
Yes. And I used to watch all the time, but I haven't been watching a lot of TV lately. I used to always watch Real Housewives of Orange County.
Girl, I can't. Well, they're the
and
OGs.
Beverly Hills.
Oh, yes. Okay, wait. So who's your favorite on Orange County?
Orange County. Oh, gosh. Because I haven't watched in a while.
I'll help you out.
Like the one who was glamorous.
Tamara?
Not Tamara.
Kelly Dodd?
No, she was the one who had the older husband who died.
It's going to drive me nuts.
Yeah, she had the older husband who died. She was...
Oh, yeah, we're going way back.
Yes, and then she started to date the younger guy that nobody really liked him or something.
Oh, Gretchen!
Yes, I love
Girl!
Gretchen!
Gretchen and Slade.
Yes.
Okay, they are now like in some sort of, I guess, I don't know if I'm going to say they're suing, but like they're in some sort of lawsuit like with the production company that did it. Yes, and they're like trying, I mean, I actually, you know what, I need to go home and like really do some good research on this and like do a book report, but it's like scandalous and they're trying to like get other of the current housewives involved in it. And
what?
I think that they feel like they were defamed on the show or something.
I mean,
it's like you guys, you defamed yourselves.
Yeah,
allegedly.
I mean, you can only, that's why I always say, whether you're doing an interview, whether you're doing reality TV, what it is, they can only edit what you give them.
Thank you. Okay. So as somebody who's been on reality television, you are an insider, you know,
yes.
People can't like the Hills. I don't know if you ever watched it, but they drove me they fucking pissed me off so much. That last episode when they tried to pull back on set, like on a soundstage, like Brody Jenner and Krista Cavallari are actors with scripts. I'm like, suck my dick. I was so pissed off because I'm like, you guys, you're not actors. Don't hide behind that, because like actors aren't playing characters. Y'all are playing yourselves. And that's the thing, is maybe the situations you're put in are abnormal, but the way you behave in those situations, that's you, right?
Yes,
I
would
no.
say yes and no. I think sometimes when people have been on a show like that for so long, they can tend to play up certain things, where if somebody's only been, you know, here and there on a show, they're probably not as privy to how things work. So it's more organic.
Right.
That's why when you see the things that happen on Project Runway,
that's real.
It's organic.
Yeah.
It's really organic.
Because people haven't quite developed that savvy, if you will, to figure out how to manipulate the situation.
Yes.
But maybe a season sixer of a popular show could figure a thing or two out. Like Jax Taylor on Vanderpump Rules.
Well, look, that's why you see all the housewives, they start to get better styling, hair, makeup, because they start to wash themselves and how they come off on the show. So, you know.
So you're a fan of Bravo for sure.
Oh yes, definitely.
But it is really weird that like that you know, now that we know that Tim Gunn and Heidi Klum aren't going back to Bravo with the show, it changes the game a little bit for me. And again, I want to reiterate, and I know that Lyra feels the same way. We love Bravo. This is no shade of Bravo.
No,
maybe a little. Maybe I'm throwing a little shade of Bravo. I love you, Bravo. But and Bravo, you're king. So like you're solid. But I do feel like. Like, for example, I remember when Queer Eye came to Netflix, the reboot, I was like, no, because I was a purist. I watched Queer Eye was on Bravo, right?
Yes, it was.
And I freaking loved that show, and I loved the character so much. And Carson Kressley, like...
He's everything.
Everything, right? And now he's back with Tom on another show on Bravo. It's like, it's so interesting the way things are so cyclical. But I remember I kind of felt like, as a fan of Queer Eye, It was like me sticking up for them and showing my loyalty was like, I'm not going to watch this Netflix reboot with the younger versions of you. Like, they should have brought back the original cast. Mm-hmm. But then one day I was hungover and looking for something to watch on Netflix. And so I watched Queer Eye on Netflix and I fell in love with the cast. So that's the thing is like, you know, I'm loyal to a point and then I get bored and I need to watch something. Oh my gosh. So I'm sure I'll be watching Project Runway on Bravo, but I think that they have really big shoes to fill. And it's ironic because they're the ones that birthed it.
Just the hugest shoes to fill. He's a special breed. Like I'm starting to look at some of the articles and the posts by a very loyal Project Runway groups, mm-hmm. like on Facebook. And they're like, well, who can we bring in as a mentor? And I'm just looking at the mentors list and I'm like, it's just there's only one Tim Gunn.
There's only one Tim Gunn. And also, who's going to say Auf Wiedersehen? Like, they're going to get another German woman? I don't think so.
It'll be interesting to see who they choose. I also want to give a special shout out to all the Project Runway loyalists and fans out mm-hmm. there who have suggested that I come back as a mentor.
I was going to say, why don't you be a mentor?
Host on the show. I was like, you know, that's really big shoes to fill with Heidi, but look, I'll take it.
Girl, you're a fan favorite. You're a fan favorite. So tell us about your season. So tell us about the final season of Project Runway. I'm just kidding.
Oh my God. Season 16 of Project Runway was the very first season where they had models of all sizes and body shapes.
Amazing.
And I mean, from, you know, people like to say hourglass, pear, or no, apple.
All right.
You know, straight up and down from a size 2 to, I believe, a 22.
Wow.
Was what was showcased on the show. And I was really proud to be a part of that type of model diversity, body diversity, as well as racial diversity. Mm-hmm. They had it all on the show. And it really challenged the designers. Because they did not know what they were walking into until they saw us step off the bus on the first episode.
And some of the designers were pissed if they got a girl who wasn't a typical size, like 2 or 4.
Exactly. But my thing is, who are you making clothes for?
Okay, and girl, we got to talk about this because this is the thing. And I feel like, when I first launched my career, I was working for Cosmopolitan Magazine Radio. So, of mm-hmm. course, we did fashion. We did all things women, all things beauty. Right. I mean, you know, we covered the gamut. And I feel like, God, you probably know better than I because you've been in the industry as a model, but it was in Milan in like, I'm going to say like 5 to 7 years ago mm-hmm. where they were insisting that if your BMI was not like at a certain healthy weight, mm-hmm. they would not let models walk in terms of trying to protect models from having agents that would tell them to like, you know, do drastic things, maybe being bulimic, anorexic in order to like fit into a certain size.
Yeah, I remember an agent at the beginning of my career told me I was really beautiful and he would sign me to his agency if I would binge and purge myself to a size 6.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
So basically saying, develop an eating disorder mm-hmm. that's very dangerous for your health mm-hmm. in order for me to represent you.
Pretty much.
What did you say to him?
I was like, I think I'm good, but thanks.
So then how many times did you experience something like that in your career as a model?
Well, a lot of times it's not even someone saying something like that. It's me showing up at a casting and people looking at me like I'm the cow in the room. Or like, why is she here? Why does she think she's going to make it in this show? Or, I'm sorry, we don't have any samples to fit your size. Or me having to work on a music video and I have to bring all of my own clothes to set because wardrobe doesn't have anything to fit my size.
Unbelievable. And this is what's, you know, the fashion
industry. This is when I was smaller, too. This is when I was more of a size. When I was doing music videos when I was like probably like a size 8, 10.
My God.
Yeah.
That's small.
Yeah.
Girl.
But my thing was,
and they couldn't fit you.
They couldn't fit me then. But my thing was this:
unreal.
I'm not going to miss this opportunity because you don't have clothes for me.
Right.
I'm still going to make my presence known. So I would go and shop before the day of the music video, come to set with my own shoes, my own outfits, and I would stand out because I was the girl with curves, where everyone else was cookie cutter.
Right.
So sometimes you have to you know, what we think is a flaw is actually, it's our fortune. It's the thing that is going to make you stand out and shine.
I love that
outlook.
And
I'm glad that, you know, I didn't try to binge and purge myself. I just accepted myself and tried to be the best me I could be and make that work for me.
And so this is what I want to ask you is, you know, like, is it just your character and who you are that didn't cave into the pressures of the industry? Or did the industry also simultaneously kind of start to shift and change where you didn't have to change so drastically?
Well, I will say it was a little of both for,
okay.
for quite some time. I did try to, well, let me see if I could lose the weight. But the thing is, I would try to lose some weight and then it just wouldn't stay.
Like, what was like the craziest thing you did? I mean, girl, I am a yo-yo dieter. Mm-hmm. I've stopped yo-yoing. I just keep gaining. But you know what? I have a girlfriend that loves my curves and she's legit. She's like, she's dead ass about it. She's like, mm-hmm. The days that I feel the chubbiest, she's like the most attracted to me. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm like, it's great, mm-hmm. but it's also bad because like none of my clothes fit. But I'm also trying, and I'm trying really hard to learn to love myself and find like my healthy / happy weight. It's still a journey for me, but I, you know, I'm never going to be as thin as my mom. That ship has sailed.
And that was the thing. I was fighting against what was natural for my body.
Yes.
I'm not supposed to be a size 2'4", because if so, I would be that.
Girl, how tall are you?
I'm 5'11".
That is tall.
Yes.
Yes.
But guess what? That's just not how my genes are. My mom is even a size, my mom is a 12, 14 now. She used to be like a 14, 16.
Mm-hmm.
But it runs in my genes. I was never supposed to try to fit this cookie cutter size for the world. So even though I would lose the weight,
right.
I would still gain the weight back because it just wouldn't stay off.
There was an article.
And I love to eat.
Girl, me too. Let's go eat and drink together.
Okay.
I'll drink a whole bottle of wine by myself. it'll be my appetizer. There was an article in Cosmo magazine, and it stuck with me. I mean, this was like a decade ago, and it stuck with me because this is, I think, and it stuck with a lot of women. It was called about finding your happy weight. So not the weight you want to be, not the weight that you think will make you happy, the weight that your body, the weight that your body is actually happy at, meant to be at. And I realized after reading the article, I was probably where I was back then. I probably gained 40 pounds since my wedding day, which mm-hmm. is like the lowest weight I'll ever mm-hmm. be. You know, I mean, well, at 4, I was probably the lowest weight I'll ever be. I always say I peaked at 4.
Oh,
I was mad sexy at 4.
Hey, hair flip.
But I definitely, the weight I wanted to be, I was like sustaining off of egg whites and water and being mm-hmm. miserable. And so I kind of started to give in to what's my body's happy weight. Now, right now, I'm not like working out that much. Okay, fine. I haven't worked out for 3 years, but full disclosure. and I'm not like making the best food choices. And I know I need to get back on track to a healthy place, but it is coming to the terms of like, what is my happy weight? What is my healthy weight? And I know mm-hmm. that's never going to look like the number that I want to see on the scale, but I got to get good with that.
Yes.
So how did you get there? How did you get good with it?
Well, I just had to, I became a lot more self-aware of who I am, how my body feels, and what looks good to me.
Okay.
So once I started to say, okay, all right, Leah, you've gained some weight. Okay, but I still love myself at this weight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm loving how my body looks in clothes. I love how, you know, my curves look or how this looks. But there are also times when, because I'm a woman.
Yeah.
And sometimes we gain weight, sometimes we lose weight.
Yep.
I can feel when my body changes.
Mm-hmm, me too. And you can feel it in your clothes, the way you carry yourself.
I can feel it in my clothes. I can feel it in my posture. I can feel it in, you know, my breaths when I'm walking.
Totally.
All of that stuff. So to me, when that starts to get out of whack, that's when I'm like, okay, Lyris, let's make some changes. You may have, you know, and sometimes it's not even a food thing. Maybe it's just my activity level.
That I swear, you know? That's the culprit of like 10 pounds that I have on me is I am sedentary.
Mm-hmm.
Like really, you know, mm-hmm. it's just a lot of sitting during the day.
So I have to find what activity, even though, because I'm not a person who loves to work out.
I hate
it. Yeah. So my thing is, what can I do to get my activity up so I can feel I can feel better in my body? Because mm-hmm. that's my thing. You don't have to be skinny, and you don't have to, just because you're skinny doesn't necessarily mean that you're healthy, and just because you're plus size doesn't necessarily mean that you're unhealthy. You have to, between you, your doctors, and you being aware of what's going on in your body,
yeah,
that's where I feel like you find your healthy, happy side.
Hey guys, I just want to take a real quick break right now to talk about one of our brand new sponsors, BioClarity. So BioClarity is a garden-given, skin-loving beauty brand that wants to help you achieve beautiful, naturally glowing skin. So basically, like what healthy eating does for your body, BioClarity does for your face, which is great because I eat like crap, and BioClarity is going to do it for my face and hopefully my body as well. Their green skincare line offers essential products to help clear up and calm your skin or keep it balanced on track with daily nutrients. So I love BioClarity. I actually use their essentials routine because my skin, it's not so much breaking out that I'm dealing with, but I have super sensitive, super red skin, and I get like flare-ups, like if I eat spicy food or like if I get like really nervous or if I try to exercise or if I drink too much alcohol. And I really love BioClarity because it really just helps even out then calm the skin and helps with that redness. And yeah, the essential routine, it's for normal to dry skin. It's just a three-step regimen that is packed with gentle nutrients that nurture your natural radiance. It cleanses, it restores, it hydrates, and I just love that it evens out my tone. So if you want healthy skin, take the first step to healthier, more radiant skin by going to BioClarity.com. And right now for my listeners, when you purchase a skincare routine, you'll get a free clarifying mask with your order. That's a $25 value for free, but you need to enter my code TASTE, T-A-S-T-E at checkout. So again, go to BioClarity.com, use my code TASTE at checkout to get your free clarifying mask when you purchase a routine. And now, back to the podcast. So let's talk about this idea, because I'm happy you hit on that. So there are a lot of people, and it feels like the world, and it disturbs me, but it's something that you see, I mean, with the trolls on social media. But so Tess Holliday, she's on the cover of Cosmo UK, and people said that they came at Cosmo, they came at her saying that doing that was promoting that obesity is okay. Like, why do people, I'm blown away by the fact that people can't see that weight has nothing to do necessarily with how healthy you are. Like, there's different body types. Mm-hmm. So what do you have to say to those haters?
Well, I will say this, because on one side, we got on the same people mm-hmm. about using models who are too skinny.
Right.
On the other side, we're getting on people who are getting mad at models thinking they can tell what their health experience or what's going on with them. I think it's a slippery slope for all of us to be on. I think a lot of people probably wouldn't have been as upset if it wasn't a fashion magazine that she was on.
Okay.
If it was like a People or something of that sort.
Uh-huh.
I think she definitely represents for a sector of women out there, and they need to be able to see that they can wear clothes, they can be beautiful, and they can be confident no matter what size they are.
I'll even say, and like, I know the Kardashians now are super tiny, but like, back when they first came on the scene, you know, and as like a girl growing up, like in a predominantly white community, like, there is like no, like, curves and like white girls, that is not something that is like, even, it was never in my mind even acceptable. Mm-hmm. My physical role models were like Kate Moss. Mm-hmm. I mean, heroin chic, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember growing up thinking like 15, 16, like my body will physically never look like that. Like, I have a thick bottom, I've got thighs, I've got a booty. Mm-hmm. And I remember feeling like I'm never going to be beautiful, because mm-hmm. My body literally, no matter how much I you know, I don't want to say starve or myself, but like, no matter how much I, what's the word I'm looking for? Restrict myself.
Restrict
myself. I'm never going to look like that. So I kind of felt like I kind of gave up mm-hmm. on loving my body. Mm-hmm. And now I look back at those pictures of me when I hated my body, and I was adorable. And it mm-hmm. makes me so sad that I wasn't able to love my body. But I do think the role models are so important in girls feeling like that.
I think it's more than just loving your body. It's loving you.
So true.
It's loving you. Loving who you are, no matter what size you are.
But how do you get there? Because, like, so for example, like, I say to myself now as an adult, if I had the Kardashians, like, you know, not Khloe now, but Khloe, like, when Khloe was, like, a little bit more real and, mm-hmm. like, less plastic surgery, no shade. I love them.
She does. I'm sorry.
They look so good. But, like, that's also not real anymore. Mm-hmm. But when they first came on the scene, these were girls with, like, for me, like, they had, like, tiny waists. They had nice, like, they had hips. They had booties. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, Well, because I got a big old ass, and I remember, and men loved it, but men would even in high school be like, I love, like, you got a good butt, girl, you know, which now is like, ah, me too. But back then it was like, if they were cute, it was like, thanks. But I kind of thought guys were making fun of my butt, and then looking at the way, like, just the general population responded to the Kardashians, I was like, oh shit, that was for real. People for real like my big butt, and I couldn't even enjoy it. But I thought to myself, if I had those girls growing up as like the standard of beauty, maybe I would have loved myself a little bit more. But you're saying it's probably even way more independent than that. Loving yourself.
Well, I'm going to say this. Growing up as a black woman.
Yes.
In America, I have always felt a fuller body was
sexy.
It was fine. It was accepted. It may have been accepted in our community. It may not have necessarily be accepted in white culture.
Being white sucks.
So it's interesting that you bring up the Kardashians, where, you know, for me, there's been curvy women for years in my community that we always looked up to and always felt okay with ourselves.
And I think you guys have a much healthier, I mean, growing up probably.
You have a healthier, I'll say, self-esteem.
In terms of body image issues.
Yes, as far as body.
You probably have less body issues than maybe the average white girl, would you say?
I would probably agree with you there.
Yeah.
I would probably agree with you there. But going back to my point.
Yes.
I really feel as though we have to start to fall in love with ourselves.
How do we do it? And I'm so asking. I mean, we can pretend like I'm asking for the audience, but I'm asking for straight up me.
Okay.
I struggle with this very, very much.
Well, I mean, look at you. You have...
No, thank you.
No, for real.
I know.
You have a podcast that is big numbers.
Yes.
You have a great social media following.
Yes.
You have a radio show that you do live every day that people even love you so much that they come back and watch the replay.
Mm-hmm.
You are married, which...
Was married, well, divorced, but like kind of married to my girlfriend. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, living with, same so, shit, playing
okay.
married.
Okay. But you have a partner. A stable partner. You have so many things to be thankful for.
Thank you.
The people that listen to your podcast probably listen to you and think that you're funny. You have great personality. You know, that you are interesting. We need to focus on what's good about us and not focus on what's bad about us. A lot of times we go immediately to what's bad. Oh, well, I got this jiggle on my arm. Okay, yeah, but then you got a great booty.
Right.
You know what I mean? Oh, well, you know, I don't have the biggest, you know, I'm not on this TV show. Okay, yeah, but you have an amazing podcast and you have people who listen to you every day.
Girl, you're living in my brain.
I'm just saying we have to start to focus on what we have and not what we don't have. Speak from a majority standpoint instead of a deficit. And build yourself up. Like yesterday I got home. And I was a little tired. I was checking my emails. I saw I had some stuff I had to get to. And I was about to be hard on myself. And I said, you know what? Nope. Let me stop that. I turned to the mirror. I said, I am proud of you. And I just stopped there. And then I said, what am I proud about? And so I started to list things that I was proud of myself about. Because I was about to be like, oh, you didn't do this. You didn't do that. You need to follow up on this. You need to do that. And then I said, no, let me bask in this moment and be kind to myself. Sometimes we are harder on ourselves than people are.
If I treated any of my friends, family members, significant others the way I treat myself, I would have none of the, I have only myself.
So why do you think you deserve that?
I don't know. I really don't. And let me ask you this. How about I can maybe find an answer for that question in who taught you to do that? Who taught you to look in the mirror and say that? You teach yourself? Did your mom teach you? Did your friend, your community?
I definitely had parents who spoke life into me and who built me up. But just from watching different stuff on online, I listen to a lot of different life coaches, authors, speakers, like on Periscope and, you know, all
self-help stuff.
Yeah, self-help stuff. And I realize, and I'm also Christian, so going to church and, you know, you realize how much there's God and God works through us. So a lot of things, it's like, it's me and God on this road. So how can if he's leading me down this road, great, but let me pull my weight in this situation too.
I get it. I'm having an epiphany.
You are the author of, like you said, I'm an author, right?
Yes.
But you're the author of your life.
Yes.
Along with God. So if that's the case, focus on what you can control. Be your best you, whether it's mentally, physically, spiritually. So that way you can write the best story of your life, which means you have to build yourself up.
And it's also like, so like think of when you're in a relationship and it's mm-hmm. like, I can't protect me, but I'm like viciously protective over my girlfriend, Taylor, mm-hmm. you know, like, okay, fine. Come at me all day long. But if you cross her, I'm coming at you. Like, I'm really good at protecting her, not so much I protect myself. So it's kind of like, it's me mm-hmm. and it's God. And so if I'm like dogging on myself, then I'm like being super mean to Jesus. And I can't be mean to Jesus.
No, why would you do that?
Exactly. So if that's the thing that stops me from shitting on myself, because then I'm also kind of like shitting on, you know, God, then uh-huh. I can maybe stop it.
Well, God doesn't make junk. You're not junk.
Yeah, and God's like, excuse you.
You're beautifully and wonderfully made. That's
God's
what
like,
it says in the Bible.
Can you not talk to yourself like that?
Exactly. I made you.
You're insulting
You're
me.
Exactly. So it's kind of like when you remember who you are and whose you are, it changes everything. So the moment I want to get down about myself, I'm like, no. I can control this.
Yep.
I spoke at a conference this past weekend in Orlando, and I was talking to them even about, like, with money. Mm-hmm. I had to change my mindset about money.
Girl, go. Talk right now, please.
Okay. I'm a person who, especially living here in New York, it's really expensive to live here.
And there's wealth. There's unparalleled wealth. Like, apartments in a building going for $40 million. Like, that should buy an island. That's bananas.
Yeah. But sometimes I would penny pinch so bad on things. Oh, no, I don't want to spend money on that. No, I don't want to do that. But that's creating a story in my head that I will not make more money.
Exactly.
Or I do not believe that money flows to me easily.
Mm-hmm.
Money is currency.
Yes.
Currency is a flow.
Yes.
So if I tap into the flow and I believe money finds me, attracts me down, it loves what I'm able to do with it, how I'm able to provide not only for me but for other people, how it helps me to travel and try new things and be more open about the world and speak to women across the globe and do this and do that. I had to change the I will put out more money, and I make more money because I put out more money, whether it's, you know, paying it forward for something.
Yep.
or you know what, I'm not going to take the cheap way out, I'm going to do this right now, or treating myself. Because a lot of times I'd be like, oh, I got this, well, let me just pay on all these bills, and I wouldn't treat myself.
Right.
I'm like, no, let me treat myself. I work hard, I deserve this. And then it's literally when I stop operating from a place of lack and
yep.
thinking that I'm not going to make more money
and
or
fear.
I have to live from paycheck to paycheck.
Yep.
That's when things change. Now I'm able to pay bills months in advance.
Yep.
Months in advance. I paid off all my debt this year.
Yep.
I am debt free.
Girl, yes.
A1.
Yep.
And that's because I had a change in mindset. I had a change in expectation and belief. I don't believe that I have to live paycheck to paycheck anymore.
Right.
I don't believe that I have to grind so hard to get any little thing. I don't believe that that I'm not able to treat myself. I believe that money is a source and it is a flow, and I tap into it and it chases me down. It comes to me easily.
You
Jobs
know what it is?
Find me easily.
It's fear-based living.
Yes.
And I think, you
yes.
know, I definitely have lived in fear. In some fucked up way, mm-hmm. I convinced myself that being fearful was protecting myself, right? Because I was so that if or when I was prepared for the worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing is, and I don't know that I believe in The Secret. I didn't even read the book. I just know it as a concept. But it's mm-hmm. like, if all you do is think negative, you attract negative versus mm-hmm. positive. So when I was married, mm-hmm. I was surrounded by negativity. Mm-hmm. And negativity begets more negativity mm-hmm. and positivity begets more positivity. Mm-hmm. It's just really as simple as that. So you're right. When you're living fear-based or you're dogging on yourself in the way you look or the money coming in or career or whatever,
then you attract those situations that would you, because that's like, oh, okay, So you believe that you're not cute. You believe that nobody's into you. You believe that you have to grind for every cent. Those are the situations that you attract to you because that's what you believe.
Believe. But that's the word. Because this idea of fake it till you make it. But you can't fake it till you make it because if you don't believe it, then you're not fucking selling it. Especially not yourself. So you have to literally believe it.
Believe it. Believe it. Like faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that means I have to, even if I'm quote unquote faking it, I still need to believe it. I need to see it. I need to envision it. I need to meditate upon it. I need to walk in it. I stayed in a very affluent area when I went to Orlando this weekend. And I just walked around the area and I was like, oh, I look forward to the day when I have a house like this and I can just come and lay poolside at my pool. And, you know, and I really believed it and I see it. And I'm going to work my behind off to make that happen.
Girl, vision board the shit out of that.
Oh, yeah.
All I want in life is a pool. I'm obsessed. Like, it's the weirdest goal. And what's ironic is I was married to a guy who was in the pool industry. I don't know. Maybe there's something. I got to talk to my therapist about that. But I literally am so obsessed with pools. It's the most bizarre thing. Like, if you have a pool, you've made it. Even an above grounder, I'll take.
Yep.
So I'll have the house next door to you and both have our pools.
Yes.
And we'll wave to each other from our pools.
Yes.
I'm loving it. Okay, so I want to get back into this idea of, so you were the first plus size model to win Project Runway. Yes. Can we talk about the term plus size? Is it offensive?
No, it's not. Okay. I think the stigma that the world has about plus size is what's offensive.
And what is that stigma?
They just think that, first of all, plus size comes in various sizes. Mm-hmm. From
what is it actually? Can you explain?
Well, in the it's two different things. Okay. In the modeling industry, anything above a size 6 is considered plus size.
So the average woman, just so everyone knows, is it like a 12 or above?
No, she's the average size woman in America is a size 16.
Size 16.
Size 16.
So there's an industry that's completely catering to the minority, not the majority. How is that? So how has this been going on for so long?
I really don't know. Control.
Right.
Control.
You know what it is?
I'm old guard, and that's why I'm glad things are changing.
And things, but you can say from an insider's point of view, they are really changing.
Yes.
And you experience it and thank God.
Yes. I mean, I have model boot camps that I've been teaching for 4 years. And what I used to say about different sizes or ethnicities or hair types that I used to say 2 years ago, I can't even say that now.
Right.
Because the industry is changing and embracing diversity in a much bigger way.
Thank God.
Yes.
And you know what? You know who's benefiting from all that diversity? Mm-hmm. It's women.
Yes.
And the way we feel about ourselves. Yes. And I think it's going to foster a healthier body image throughout different, you know, cultures. Regardless.
Across the board. Not only that, I think if you pay attention, this is also happening while This is also happening while we're having a revolt with feminism in our America. You know, feminism is a big hot topic and it's changing the world. Women are using their voices. They're speaking up for equality in more ways than one. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't it flow over into fashion?
Thank God.
Why wouldn't it flow over into diversity and body size and racial?
You know, absolutely. I really think, too, a lot of it has to do, and you can maybe speak to this, especially from hearing some of the designers on Project Runway season 16, when they found out that they were going to have to maybe work with somebody who wasn't a size 6 or below, they were pissed and they vocalized it, which is fucking crazy. And I mean, I love Christian Siriano so much, but even he said when he was going into, I don't even remember what season he was, but when he was going into his fashion show, it was like him and two others, he said to his girls, okay, girls, nobody's eating for a week. And he was joking, but like not joking.
Right.
And then Christian was one of the first designers to really move into the more realistic, curvaceous space for women and design for women with real bodies.
Right.
So he made good on that one.
He
but
did.
I think a lot of designers, again, tell me if you think I'm wrong. I think it's just sheer laziness because you could put a burlap sack on a coat hanger and it's gorgeous. But good luck designing for women with real curves because that is the mark of a true artist.
Yes. I mean, one of the things I can say for all the designers who ended up being on season 16, I'm sure it stretched them as a designer.
And
because if you, I mean, for quite a few of them, I was the first plus size body that they ever made clothing on.
What was
ever.
That like?
I mean, a little scary for me because I'm wondering, are they going to be able to pull this off? Are they going to make my job harder on the runway to try to make their design come alive? But that's what a great model does. We try to bring, you know, the weirdest, craziest things to life and make it sellable. But I think that's why a lot of the Project Runway audience fell in love with me, because I would say, you know, you should accentuate this part, or you need to take this in. Because I think some of them had a warped sense of what a plus size woman wants.
Yes.
Just because.
Like, what would you say?
Like, I remember there was a piece that Kentaro was making, and he was going to make it, like, really billowy.
Right.
And I was like, no. I said, okay, this is how this lays right here. I said, and I put my hands on my hips to gather the dress, the evening gown, on my waist. Mm-hmm. And I said, now look at this. I said, and then I took my hands away, and now look at this. You see the difference? You know, it's just little things like that that are saying, like, don't run and make a moo-moo for me.
Yep.
I love my body. Just find where you can accentuate it.
And that's the thing is, I feel like accentuating curves, like curves love to be shown. I'm realizing this in the way that I dress myself now. And, you know, my go-to is Moo Moo Central. My closet's full of fucking Moo Moos.
No.
And my girlfriend, mm-hmm. who is 6 feet tall, mm-hmm. probably size six, mm-hmm. string bean. She looks just like Blake Lively. Mm-hmm. But she's the one that's like, can you wear things that show your curves, please? Yes. And it's like so foreign to me. Like my knee jerk is to hide. And it does me no favors. No favors. Mm-mm. And so I find now that when I accentuate my curves, I feel better. I look better. I feel more confident.
You just need to find what works for your body. And that's one thing I tell women all the time. Go to different stores. Try on a bunch of different clothes. Don't even commit to really buying anything that day. Sometimes the best thing you can do is go to like a Macy's or a Bloomingdale's and get a whole bunch of different stuff to find out, okay, this type of cut works for me, or ruching in this area works for me, or this type of sleeve looks good on me, but this type of sleeve doesn't look good on me. Uh-huh. I know if I have a short sleeve here, that's here, it doesn't look good on me.
It's like, what would you say? It's almost like a cap
sleeve-ish. A cap sleeve, yeah. Yes. But if I have a sleeve that comes like to my elbow, I'm forgetting the technical name right now.
Yeah, but that works for me.
Or like a halter, because I have broad shoulders, it accentuates my body in a great way. Mm-hmm. So even because a lot of people think like, oh, well, you're Hourglass, you can wear anything. No, because guess what? I can look like a whore.
That's another thing.
If I don't have the right.
If you've got big old boobies, you got to be careful that you
That's
wear.
What I'm saying. I've learned that. I had to learn what works for my body. So, okay, the hemline, where the hemline is.
Yep.
You know, sometimes.
What's your favorite hemline?
For me, I either like really long, or I like right at my knee.
Right at your knee.
Yes.
Yep.
So sometimes I have to buy stuff and I have to let out the hem.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes I have to make a split into the dress so it can, you know, look a little better. Or because I am more hourglass, sometimes I have to take the waist in. A lot of times we will go shopping and throw a whole outfit away. No, that doesn't work for me. When you could just go to the cleaners and say, hey, can you take this in at the waist?
Literally.
Pay
a tailor $10. Is a girl's best friend.
Exactly. You have to play with fashion. Play with fashion. Have fun with fashion. You cannot expect one brand or designer is going to be able to make clothing for every body type.
No.
Just in this room right now, we have, you know, three different body types,
yep.
heights.
Yep.
You know, so you can't expect that every designer, once you go into a department store, is just going to make the perfect piece for you. But you can also start to shop around and find out what brands and designers do work with your body type. So that way, you know how to purchase, you know, to purchase from them a lot more.
You know, I actually learned this, and they are not sponsoring this, so I'm giving them free fucking advertisement, because that's how much I believe. Mm-hmm. I will say, Rent the Runway, They opened my eyes to so much. So growing up, it was kind of like, and listen, my mom's friggin' amazing. I adore my mom. She'd be the first person to say that she realizes now that her body image issues have definitely had a trickle down effect. And so, you know, and it was an unintentional thing for sure. But you know, but that's something that women need to realize too. Like, your issues with your own body, you need to rectify them damn straight, because your little girl is going to mimic it. My mom said that she took me into the dressing room with her. And she was saying, oh, my thighs, oh, my bum bum. I was like 2. And I actually said, oh, look at my thighs. Oh, look at my bum bum. And she thought, oh, shit, I can't talk like this in front of her, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I definitely, like, I grew up in what my mom did for herself. It was obviously, it was just like monkey see, monkey do. Mm-hmm. And so she, you know, it was like when I would gain weight, which is inevitable. I love food. I don't like to exercise. That's a great combination for gaining weight. I remember, you know, it was like, well, we're not going to go shopping like for like expensive clothes because, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to lose weight. And so we're not going to, like, it's an incentive to lose weight when you want to fit into your clothes. So I started to learn that I wasn't allowed to wear nice things when I was at a weight that I wasn't, quote unquote, supposed to be at, a weight that I determined I wasn't supposed to be at.
But see,
that's so wrong.
But that's the thing that a lot of plus size women have felt. No, stop feeling like you cannot dress well now just because you're plus size. Or when I lose the weight, then I'm going to be able to do this.
Boom.
No.
Because then what happens is you get in a cycle of sweatpants on all you're wearing is sweatpants.
Exactly.
And then sweatpants stretch, so you don't know you're gaining weight.
No. Dress great now.
Now.
Now, as you are in this body
you got it. Dress great.
Now.
And that's why I love Rent the Runway, because they have an array of sizes. Mm-hmm. They're all designer, so gorgeously made things. And if you're gaining or staying the same or losing weight, you can just go up, you can go down. It's you're not having a full-blown fucking panic attack because you want a taco on Taco exactly. Tuesdays. You know? So that for me is what I learned, is like you said, dress for now. Live in the present.
Yes.
And it's kind of something, I think we actually, now I'm having a serious epiphany. I feel like when it comes to, at least for me personally, I can't speak for anybody else, but with my body, it's like I either live in the past or I'm living in the future of what I'm going to be when I am of this, or when I'm going to be happy.
Embrace where you are.
Right now. Right, be beautiful right now.
Just like it was a lady who said, oh my gosh, I love, she was like, oh, I love, it was a sequence jumper that, shout out to Renee Tyler, mm-hmm. That I was modeling for her, and I posted it on my Instagram. And so he was like, oh my gosh, she's like, I love that outfit. Now I just need somebody to take me, I need a great event to go to for it. And I said, no, why don't you buy the outfit?
Yep.
And then find an event. We keep, oh, well, no, I don't need to buy this now. Let me do this when I have something. No, buy the outfit now.
Trust me.
And the event will happen.
And when the event happens, you're going to be damn happy you have that sequin jumpsuit.
Yes, you're going to already be ready. Stop trying to, oh, when I get to a size 6, then I'll buy this dress. Then I'll buy these shoes.
Yep.
Then I'll take this trip. Then I'll try this.
Then I'll go on this dating site, right? Then I'll go for this job.
No,
we hold ourselves back so much.
Now.
Exactly.
Get dating now. I remember I did, for my mom's birthday, we went to the Bahamas and we did parasailing. And this lady was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you just gave me hope as a plus size woman because you got up there and parasailed. And I said, you could parasail too. She was like, no, I'm sure I'm too heavy. And then when I can't remember what the weight requirement is, uh-huh. but when I told her, she was like, oh my God, I would have never thought that.
So she's like, 5 of me could go parasailing.
I'm like,
yes.
Yeah, live now.
Yep, that's the message. I love it. Well, that's the only way to live. You are a delight beyond. Lears, thank you so much for joining me. And also, you are, I mean, like you were saying, manifest it.
Yes.
You are doing a ton of stuff. So you guys can actually pre-order Lears' book. It's called Make the World Your Runway.
Yes.
Also, you have a podcast.
I do. Let me say this. My Make the World Your Runway book is a book that it's like a self-esteem book in certain ways.
Well,
it's,
you are clearly the person to do it.
Thank you.
Because I feel like so much better about myself than I felt in a really long time today.
Better. But it's basically how I prepare for the runway and how I put that into play in more of an emotional and psychological way for For every woman that's out there so they can make the world their runway.
That's great. I mean, like I do, I'm doing more and more, not stand-up shows, but like live podcasts, mm-hmm. but there's a bit of a stand-up element in there mm-hmm. and I feel like I'm going to barf all over myself and put my pants before I go on stage. Is that how you feel before you walk on the runway?
Oh my gosh. It's crazy, but I always get nervous before I go out on the runway. But to me, that's just a sign that I'm alive
and
I'm excited and I care about what I'm about to do.
Yep.
Also, my podcast yes. is called Lyris Lounge. You can find it on Cewebity, which is CEWEBITY.com. Cewebity.com is Lyris Lounge. And my podcast, I actually had Tim Gunn on my podcast.
I heard, girl.
2-part episode.
And it's juicy.
It's juicy.
You guys go in.
Yes. So, we talk about from Project Runway to like his life, his personal life, dating.
No.
Sex.
He dates?
Oh, my.
He has sex?
I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you. You have to go listen to the podcast.
He's like asexual to me. I just realized.
you have to go listen to the podcast.
For sure. And yes. Lyris is spelled L-I-R-I-S.
Correct.
Yes.
Iris with an L in front of it.
Yes.
L-I-R-I-S. Make sure you follow me on Instagram and on Twitter. Lyris C. C is for the cross. Follow me at Lyris C, L-I-R-I-S-C.
Yep. Yes. And you've been a delight and an inspiration.
Thank Seriously. You so
Thank
much.
You so much for all the work you do and for just being a positive role model. For
Thank
real.
Thank you.
In so many ways. In terms of the way that you look, the way you carry yourself, and the way that you think.
I appreciate
It's really mind, body, and soul.
Thank you.
Girl.
That's like an awesome compliment. Thank you so much.
I don't say shit I don't mean, so I really, really mean it.
This was such a fun podcast. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me. And you guys, make sure to subscribe to this podcast, Taste of Taylor. Subscribe, like it, write a comment that helps me chart well. And when you like rate it, give me 5 stars. I don't want a fucking 1 star. Okay, that's what I'm asking for. If you want to give 1 star, please don't even rate. And also make sure to spread the love. Don't forget the podcast is free, so spread it around. I'll make sure to have swipe ups in my Instagram, which is at Taylor Strecker. It's just real easy. You'll be able to swipe up and then just like share it around with all your friends and family. Like, I want you to like steal your mailman's phone and subscribe to the Taylor to the Taste of Taylor for him. Anyway, have a great one, guys, and we'll be back next Wednesday. Bye, girl. Bye. Did you enjoy this taste of me? Want more? Then go to taylorstrecker.com and sign up for my daily talk radio show, The Taylor Strecker Show, and listen live or on demand.